Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support. Till the world ends. Remix.
Hi, chimpanzees is hating, but I take it all in stride. Put her in a jungle with bananas on the side. Told you they'd revive your career, but somebody lied. I ain't talking poultry when I say this chicken straw. With me, telling them my son, yup, telling my man, pick me. Anyway, burn Bradell, what's that? I don't know, but
burn Bradell.
Sniff, cries. I done played your whole entire fucking life. Oh, you got some Epsom salt? I done balled all day. You ain't left the guard. What? What you tired? You need a break? You was hot when? Ricky Lake.
I noticed that you got it. You noticed that I want it. You know that I can take it to some next level, baby. If you want this good dish, this is a remix. Baby, let me blow your mind tonight.
It's Britney, too. I'm Nicki Minaj and that's Kesha.
I can't take it, no more.
Never felt like this before. Come on, get me on the floor. DJ, what you waiting for?
Oh, welcome to the show, everybody. Thanks for joining me tonight on Off Limits. I appreciate you taking your time out of your evening or morning, as it may be, wherever you are, to spend with me for a little while. If you want to call in to the show tonight, the number is 323-843-6160. You can call in anytime. I'm happy to take your call. Tonight we're doing the Brain Purge show, so I am just going to ramble on about whatever is on my mind, nothing planned, just want to say whatever comes out of my mind, unfiltered. So if you want to hear me ramble on, this is the show for you. Also, of course, interspersed with a lot of music, as always, so feel free to call in if you want. Also, if you want to know more about me, you can go to offlimitshow.com, also to blogtalkradio.com/offlimits. I'm also on Twitter and also on Facebook, so hope to see you in those places as well. Be sure to like me on those places if you're interested, so when I have a show, you'll know about it. And we always have the show usually late around this time in the morning, early mornings, but of course you can always listen to them in archive if you're not around this time of day because you have a regular day job, unlike me, who actually is self-employed and can make his own schedule, so it's easy for me to do it this time of day. Plus, everything's quiet. Everything's quieted down, and just sort of nobody's bothering me on the phone or emailing me or texting me at this time of day, and no responsibilities. You know, my husband's asleep and my dog's asleep, and the day is done. So this is why I have the show so late every day. Anyway, so there's some things happening this week, especially tomorrow. I want to tell you about a show I'm having tomorrow. The show tomorrow is going to be about the Supreme Court decision, because tomorrow at 8 a.m., they are going to announce the Supreme Court decision for what I call marriage equality here in the United States. They're going to decide essentially whether they're going to repeal DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, or they're going to repeal the decision or uphold the decision on the Proposition 8 case in California. So tomorrow we will be talking all about that, and so that's definitely a show for you. If you want to call in tomorrow during the show, I'm happy to take your calls on that, because I'd love to hear all sides of the story, all sides of the debate, you know, the opinion. So feel free to call in the show tomorrow at that time as well. That'll be on at 2, I think I have it set for 2 a.m. tomorrow as well. But you can always go to my page at btr@blogtalkradio.com/offlimits, and it'll tell you when it's going to be airing. And of course, you can always listen to it later. But I hopefully they're going to rule that the same-sex couples will be able to, well, in terms of the DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, will be overturned. That would be wonderful, as if the whole thing were overturned. But these are probably one of three scenarios that are going to happen. You know, the first one would be that both Proposition 8 and DOMA are upheld. Okay, and so I don't think anybody's expecting that to actually happen. But of course, in 1986, the Supreme Court upheld the sodomy laws. Of course, they've been overturned since then. Nobody expected that then. And then the Affordable Care Act, you know, which is Obamacare last year, nobody expected that to be upheld, but it was. So the thing is, for both Proposition 8 and DOMA to be upheld, the majority of the justices have to vote together twice. First, to allow that each case's questions are cleared up, and then again to reverse the lower court's judgment. So that's an unlikely scenario, fortunately. That's probably not going to be the case. The second scenario is that both Proposition 8 and DOMA are struck down. That is what most people are expecting to actually happen tomorrow. You know, there's a lot of possibilities of how this could actually happen and play out. You know, for Proposition 8, the court could strike down the ban in California and strike it down in California and the other six states, Colorado, Hawaii, Illinois, Nevada, Oregon, New Jersey, where they have bans that are similar to California's. Or they could strike down these kind of bans in all states, so meaning it wouldn't just be applying to states that have bans, but in all states, meaning it's unconstitutional to have a ban against gay marriage in all states across the nation. And it could also reach a result that would be basically saying that it would be really against the yes on eight proponents in what they call procedural matters. And so for DOMA, though, the court could rule basically on whether it's constitutional or not, or it could find some other kind of procedural issue that basically makes them not able to rule on it at all. And that would allow another court decision against DOMA to stand. So it's hard to kind of know what the court would actually be doing in terms of allowing DOMA to be enforced in some parts of the country and not others, or in some parts of the legislation and not others. But it's the Supreme Court's job basically to step in when there's a conflict. So that's what the second possibility is. And the last possibility is that Proposition 8 is struck down, but STOMA stalls or whatever. So it's also unlikely that this would happen because it would allow a federal law like DOMA to remain in force in some areas, but not others. So they get off to make no ruling at all in regards to this case and take up the DOMA challenge through another appeals type of issue. And the court's not likely to look for that for, you know, a better case statewide or whatever, but like Proposition 8. So they actually have to decide on that as well. So anyway, these are the three possibilities. The bottom line is that whatever they decide, it will it'll be tomorrow, today, technically, if you're after midnight like I am. It's 2 a.m. here in Dallas. And a lot of people believe that that could represent one of the biggest civil rights decisions in Supreme Court history. And so basically tomorrow, today, whatever, at 8 a.m., six hours or so from now, basically, they will be making history if they actually strike down both Proposition 8 and DOMA. It would mean so much to people like myself whom are married in a state. We're married in Connecticut. And however, we live in Texas, unfortunately. So the rights that we would get from Connecticut are we don't have, first of all, as a state, and also federally, we're not recognized. And so this would change that. It would do so much in terms of giving a thousand plus rights to our marriage, just like every other heterosexual marriage has and enjoys to ours. And it would make our lives much easier, and just it would be a great thing. So hopefully, they will be struck down. So tomorrow we'll discuss this tomorrow and see what the actual outcome is, and you know, see if they actually are going to do the right thing, which I feel, you know, from a civil liberty standpoint, is to allow gay people to get married, to curtail one person's rights, to not allow them to enjoy the same freedoms that another class of people enjoy. Is unconstitutional, period. And that's one of the things that's been continually argued in the courts against this case. So we shall see tomorrow what happens. Hopefully things will actually go the way we want. So if you want to call into the show, the number is 323-843-6160, and I'm happy to take your call. And I'm going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk about it's a really cool movie that I want to see that's coming out soon. It's a gay movie, but it's got some major actresses in it and some things on TV, some other queer stuff as well. So if you want to call in, once again, the number is 323-843-6160, and I'll be right back. back to the show. If you want to call in to the show and talk to me about something on your mind or something we're discussing tonight on Off Limits, please call me at 323-843-6160. You can also call in using Skype for free if you want to call in from blogtalkradio.com/offlimits. You can call in that way as well if you like. So speaking of gay marriage, there is a new movie coming out. It's already out, actually. It's been around the award circuit or whatever. It's won like a bazillion awards already, like 35 awards or something crazy. And it's on DVD now, and it's called Cloudburst, C-L-O-U-D, Burst, Cloudburst. And it's got Olympia Dukakis, and it's got Brenda Fricker, two very, very famous actresses, both Oscar-winning actresses, actually. And they are in this movie they're like in their 70s, and they've been together for 31 years, and they are the daughter of one of them is trying to put her in a home, and she doesn't recognize that they're a lesbian couple and married, or in their mind they're together or whatever, and have been for 31 years, and so she's trying to take her away, and so the other one kidnaps her from the home she put her in, and they go off to Canada to basically get married there, so their relationship will be legal in Canada. So they're going there to move there, and on the way there they pick up a gay hitchhiker who's played by Ryan Duquette, is his name, hot guy, and he's going to visit his dying mother there. So anyway, it's an interesting, it's a kind of a comedy, you know, kind of a dramedy, I guess you'd say, drama/comedy, and it looks really good, and I think you should check it out. I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to buy it and watch it. You have to buy it right now. You can buy it at Wolf, WOLFEvideo.com, and it's called Cloudburst, and it's $19.95. Check it out. I think it's going to be a really good movie. I'll let you know when I watched it what I think. But that's one of the reasons what we need to have gay marriage in America, because if we don't have it, the people that have been together for 31 years and longer in some cases, and it cannot, their relationship is not recognized. And so a daughter or a son or a relative can come between them, even though they are one another's closest relative, because they're married in all aspects. So hopefully it will pass. We'll see. And then this week, or today specifically, yesterday technically, Wendy Davis, she's a Texas senator, and I live in Texas, and you know, Texas is very back-asswards. I say that all the time. It is really a back-assward state, and the people who run it are as well, and most of the people in it are as well. And it's really just one of the worst states in the country for so many reasons, but especially when it comes to civil liberties. And, of course, abortion is legal here, just as it is throughout the country. But Texas has tried once already to pass a law that would make it more difficult for women to have abortions. And now they're trying to pass a law that would make it illegal for clinics to perform anything after 20 weeks, 20 weeks or after abortion. And the clinics all have to retrofit their entire practices with major surgical equipment, and they have to get certified and those kind of stuff that they don't have to do typically. Right now there's like 37 abortion clinics in Texas, and only two of them are currently meet the standards that this new law would require. So essentially the reason for this law is to make it much more difficult for women to have abortions. And so that's the whole purpose of it. And you know, Texas is all very, you know, God and country and all that bullshit here, and very Christian and very, you know, all that nonsense. And so there's a large part of this state that is very much like me, very liberal minded, and we do exist here. And the state is getting bluer and bluer as every election cycle happens, and that's great. And so eventually we'll have an actual Democratic governor again someday soon, hopefully. It's been like 30 years, I think, since we've had one. It's been a very long time. I think Ann Richards was the last one we had. But anyway, my point is that Wendy Davis today did a filibuster for 10 hours straight and reading to the to try to help block this from going through in the Texas Senate, and reading essentially the stories of women who had to have abortions and the reason they had to have them and their stories and the sadness of it and everything else, and that it wasn't just people who wanted to have them for, you know, because it's like birth control. It was people who needed to have them for one reason or another. And I don't think any woman probably would ever want to have an abortion. It's not something somebody wants to check off their list, obviously. So for men to get involved in the situation, in my opinion, is just ludicrous, and hopefully things will go the way I want, but we won't know until tomorrow if it's going to actually be passed or not. So, you know, that's going to be yet another setback for this great state of Texas, as they say here. But it'll still be legal to have an abortion. It'll just be very, very, very difficult, and it'll put most of the abortion clinics out of business because they can't afford to make $1 million retrofits on their clinics, obviously. So we'll see what happens with that. And there is a, I just went right out of my head. I was going to talk about something. There's a, it went out of my head. I'm sorry. Anyway, I don't know if any of you watch Arrested Development, which I didn't watch actually until this year. You know, they came back, they were on to 2000 to 2000 and I don't know, three or something like that. And it's been like 8 years or something. I mean, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been like 8 years since they were on. They came back with a new season on Netflix only, the third season of the show. I think there were only two of these seasons or four. Anyway, so they are coming back with the fourth season now, actually, and they are going to come back with a fourth season. And I thought the show was really hilarious. It's a really, really well-written show. And, I've heard about it throughout the years, but I just never took the time to sit down and actually watch it. And so last month, I went through every single episode, all like 60 something episodes of the whole series, including the new season, and it's really funny. It's a really good show. So anyway, it's been renewed. I like it a lot, and you should check it out if you haven't, because it's a really good show. What else do I want to talk about today? I can't remember. What, I'm talking about something else a minute ago. I can't remember. It went out of my head. I don't remember. I completely just lost my train of thought. So since it's Brain Purge, I'm just going to talk about whatever's on my brain. So if you want to call the numbers, 323-843-6160, and we'll be right back.
I want to rock with you. I want to walk with you.
All right, so we're back. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. So I was talking yesterday on yesterday's show about Paula Deen. I think it was yesterday's show, the day before, possibly both, and about that whole debacle. You know, I'm really surprised about so many people who are, you know, I don't know what the problem is about this, really. I mean, what the why there's an actual, what's the word? There's an actual debate about it at all, because the woman has created an environment that was consistently hostile to workers who were minority workers for a variety of reasons. She, as well as her brother, as well as other people in her family, have done so. And many people have come forward, not just the woman looking for damages financially, but in many other ways as well. So it is obvious that this is a pattern here, and has been one for a very long time with them. So it's obvious the woman has done something wrong. If you believe that racism is wrong, if you don't believe racism is wrong, then you probably don't think that she's done anything wrong. And for some reason, these issues always come to whether it's a black and white issue, white people on one side, black people on the other side, just like with the O.J. Simpson trial or something. And I don't understand why any of it is about whose race the person is, whether she's white or black and racist. It doesn't matter. If she's racist, she's racist. Whether it was a black person who was doing it to a white person or a white person doing it to a black person. So I don't know why people have a hard time understanding racism. But it seems a lot of people do. And racism is absolutely real, and it is absolutely alive and well in this world that we live in. As I've said before, these days it's just more subtle. It's not right in your face, as is evidenced by this case, obviously, in some ways as well. And then the Zimmerman trial, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with that. And just to recap, you know, Zimmerman's the one who's accused of murdering Trayvon Martin, based on the Stand Your Ground law. Sorry, and I don't know. First of all, why has the man gained so much weight? He's in fucking prison, right? And he's like fat as huge. He's like really big. I mean, I just noticed. You know, my God, he's gotten so fucking big. The last time I saw him on TV, and it's like he went from this really skinny guy to this really huge guy. Maybe because he can't work out, but I thought I'm sure you can work out in prison. I'm sure you can. So I don't know. I just think it's really weird. Maybe he's eating his feelings or something, but I just wanted to say that as a side note. So I keep hearing from people about this, you know, and saying that it's always a black and white issue, black and white issue, black and white issue. And what difference does it make what race the person was? If this had been reversed, let's say that Trayvon Martin was George Zimmerman, and George Zimmerman was Trayvon Martin. So Trayvon Martin was the neighborhood watch guy, and George Zimmerman was the guy getting Skittles in a hoodie, walking into a gated community, and he was spotted by the overzealous neighborhood watchman with a gun. And so if this had happened that way, I am absolutely sure, without a doubt, that if George Zimmerman were black and Trayvon Martin were not, you know, that George Zimmerman would have been in prison and this would have been over and we would have been done with it. And he would have been tried in the public eye as well for what he did by pursuing someone that actually was not threatening them in any way whatsoever. To pursue someone after the 911 operator told you not to do that, to pursue someone when you're trained simply to watch and report and to never actually pursue as a neighborhood watch person. So for him to have done all of these things, he took it upon himself to take the law into his own hands is what he did. He just wanted to shoot his gun. He wanted to kill this guy. And I feel it probably was a racially driven thing. If it had been a white guy, he probably wouldn't have even thought twice about it. But because he was black in a hood and, you know, walking through this neighborhood, and he felt he didn't belong. So if it had been a black guy who had done all the things that George Zimmerman had done, he would have been done, convicted, death sentence, and that would have been it. That's how I feel about it. And then the George Zimmerman, if Trayvon Martin were white or Jewish or whatever he is, if Trayvon Martin were that instead, it would have been just, a lot of people all sad about him, just like they are about Trayvon Martin, but it would have been reversed. And so everybody makes everything about race, and it's always based around, along racial lines, and never does it ever seem generally to be based along lines of what is right and what is wrong. Who the fuck cares what race they were, I don't know why I can see – oh, I know why I can. But, I mean, I can see people blindly. I don't see people's race. I said this before my show many times. I seriously don't. I don't see it for better or for worse. I don't. If a Middle Eastern person gets on the plane, I don't get nervous. I just don't, because I don't think every Middle Easterner is a terrorist. If a black person is walking behind me on a shadowy street, I don't get any more nervous than if it were a white person following me on a shadowy street. It's just somebody's following me on a shadowy street at night. I don't think that, I just don't look at race that way, the way a lot of people do, and use it to determine the value of someone or use it to determine what someone's going to do as a precursor to what their behavior is going to be. Because honestly, it doesn't really make a difference if somebody's black. If they're white, Hispanic, Asian, Middle Eastern, Native American, whatever they are, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. It has nothing to do with their race. It doesn't. It has to do with their culture, possibly, but not the race all the time. But I'm not going to go into that whole fucking spiel again. I just wanted to comment on that briefly, since that's something else in the news today. And then yesterday, Obama actually had a press conference, a major press conference, about the environment. He had a long speech about the environment and what he's doing to improve our situation in our country with the environment and blah, blah, blah. And it was cut off almost, towards the beginning of the thing. And the news channels just didn't want to carry it. The cable channels didn't want to carry it. It's like CNN or MSNBC or Fox, whatever. They didn't want to carry his speech on the environment. If he were speaking about something like war or something about something else, I'm sure they would have. But I found it to be really disappointing that people are far more interested in hearing about Kanye West and Kim Kardashian than they are the state of our environment. And our environment is incredibly important, obviously. My God, this is where we live. And people don't think about it because we take it for granted as human beings. We take the environment in which we live for granted. We don't think about how the air we breathe is now polluted, and how our water is being more and more polluted, and how these things are not these things are finite resources. Believe it or not, if you have dirty air, the clean air becomes finite, and if you have dirty water, the clean water becomes finite. I mean, water itself is, we're having problems all over the world with having enough water to provide for everyone as the populations increase across the globe. And, people can say, well, we just take the money from the ocean. Well, we can do that, but that costs so much money to do that, to take the salt water out, blah, 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 whatever. And even if it's not salt water, to take water, purify it, blah, blah, blah. It's a huge, huge expense. And you couldn't do that for the entire world, financially prudently or whatever. So it's just not possible. It's possible to do it. It's just not possible, financially prudent, to do it for any country or any nation to do that, even ours, especially ours, since we're so fucking broke. But anyway, so our air, and as I said before, like a couple weeks ago, a month ago, we've passed the tipping point of the number of carbon particles in the atmosphere. And the tipping point was where all the scientists who agree on global warming or environmental change, as they call it, means that we've passed the point where we can never go back to cleaning the air to the point where we're going to be okay. The only way to clean the air is to now have plant farms and things like that, where we take all the meat off of the earth, or we grow meat naturally the way it was initially intended, instead of growing it the way we do now, and it releases tons of methane in the air and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of other things we could do to change, to reverse it. But the fact is, human beings aren't going to change it. They're not going to change. people like their meat, and they're not, they don't care if it fucking kills the earth. They don't care if it kills our water supply and gases each of us to death ultimately. And the fact that we're probably going to end up living in fucking domes in 25, 30, 50 years from now because we can't go outside because of the ozone layer being depleted because it's going to burn our fucking skin off. So I'm sorry, but this is where we're headed, and nobody seems to fucking give a shit. I mean, I remember when I was in high school as a kid, obviously, and you know, I one of the clubs I joined was Greenpeace, Greenpeace Club or the Sierra Club or something, you know, and it was about helping the environment and, you know, that kind of thing. In the 90s, it was kind of a new resurgence of environmental interest, you know, an interest in protecting our environment. It was always around the 60s and 70s, a lot in the 70s specifically, but it really came back in the 90s. And I remember it being an important cause to me, but it was something that a lot of people just didn't get. They didn't understand it. Oh my God, there's plenty of air, there's plenty of this, clean air, clean water, whatever. You know, it's never going to happen. And the fact is that they've been telling, scientists being they, have been telling nations and people like us, you know, since the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, that if we do not change our ways, we're going to regret it one day, and we're going to reach the tipping point. And we've just done that this year, and nothing was done about it. It was people waited far too late to even start. If they'd started in the 70s, then it would have been okay. And there were bills that were on the books to do the same thing that they were trying to do now. They have done now in terms of curtailing the amount that you can release into the atmosphere and other things that pollute the air and the water supply that weren't done until just the 2000s because of people like Bush, people like Reagan, because Carter had introduced these bills. And, of course, you know, Carter was seen as some sort of, hippie kind of thinker or whatever, too nice or whatever. So he knew what he was talking about. And so did millions of other people out there. But unfortunately, we are living in a world where people don't give a fucking shit anymore about our environment. And I think it's an incredibly important issue. And not only that, I mean, if you have children, if you have kids, for God's sakes, you're going to end up dying and having remembered when you could go outside and play and when you were a kid and what fresh air smelled like or felt like and how invigorating it is and how beautiful the trees are in the spring and how grass feels beneath your feet and all these things that your grandchildren and your children maybe will not ever know because the earth will be such a hostile environment in 100 years that we won't be able to enjoy the things we do today. And so that's one of the things about humanity. Humanity seems to be, and always has been, a very selfish people. You know, we as people are very selfish humans. We don't do anything about anything unless we absolutely are forced to do it. We don't want to change our ways. We don't want to help people or anything if it's going to be inconvenient to us, or change our ways if it's going to change our way of life in some way, if we don't see the effects happening. And that's the insidious part of, you know, global warming or climate change, is that it's not something you can necessarily see per se. The way it exhibits itself is through the global warming changes and the changes in the weather patterns and things like that that we're experiencing these days. Much, much, much hotter summers and very cool climates, much cooler summers or winters, et cetera, in warmer climates, typically warmer climates. And I know in Texas, for example, it's typically hot here, right? But we used to have, when I was younger, we used to have four seasons here. They were short seasons, but we had four seasons. We'd have, you know what, we'd have a summer, which was long here, long hot summer, right? And 100 degrees, maybe we'd top out around 100 degrees. Okay, this is when I was a kid. And then in the fall, you know, we'd have nice, really crisp nights for about 2 or 3 months, and the trees would change, all that kind of stuff, and beautiful weather. And then the winter would happen, and we'd have maybe snow once or twice, and that'd be it. But we'd still have cold weather, like, you know, 30s and 40s here is cold, or 20s or even, and then even zero sometimes, when a couple of times throughout my life. And then finally, we'd have spring when everything would come back in gorgeous weather. Well, now it's been, I mean, thinking back to my childhood versus now, I probably should look up in an almanac, and you could probably prove this to be true, but if they still make almanacs, I'm sure they do. I would looking back on my life, I remember what it's like now and then, and now it's like our summers are long, much longer than they ever were. And then we have like a really short fall, and then we have like a slightly longer winter, and then we have a really short spring. But this year we had a long spring. But anyway, I'm saying every year is different. And so it's obvious these changes. And people in fucking Alaska, this last week had 80-degree weather, which is unheard of in Alaska. I mean, that is like hot up there, like heat stroke hot for people who are used to like the kind of weather they had up there, okay? And so, and then also in Chicago a couple years ago, there was like all these people dying from heat strokes because they had like 90 degrees, 100-degree weather in Chicago in like spring. I mean, the weather pattern changes are obvious, and there's obvious cues to what's going on with our environment. But people just ignore it. Oh, it's really hot this winter or this summer. It's really cold this winter. You know, oh yeah, we're losing the ozone in the atmosphere. It's going to burn us. It's going to end up killing all of us and whatever. We're inhaling it. Plus, we can't be protected from the sun. Our skin's going to bake off. Getting more instances of skin cancer now. And then we can't grow. All of the fields are fallow these days now. We can't grow what we used to grow. I mean, just on and on and on and on. And people just don't seem to give a shit. So my point was, after Obama spoke about this yesterday or whenever it was, nobody paid attention. They didn't get any real news coverage or anything. People just act like it never happened because people are more concerned with fucking Kanye West or Kim Kardashian or Lindsay Lohan or, you know, some other nonsense that doesn't fucking matter. So anyway, it just pissed me off when I hear that kind of behavior, because I'm not saying everybody has to care so much about the environment the way that some people, like, you know, activists do, but I think that you should at least give a shit, because it is the fucking earth we're talking about here. It is the fucking earth. So I'm going to be right back. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160, and I'll take your call, and I'll be back in just a minute.
Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said, Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in the peaceful dreams I see, the road leads back to you. I said, Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
Other arms reach out to me,
Sore. I think it's the cold air in here. I don't think I'm getting sick. It just says it's like the cold air. Anyway, so one thing I want to talk about tonight before I go is there's a lot of I've been thinking a lot lately about how I handle people who are complete morons, and I run into them a lot, and I encounter them a lot in my lifetime. And it's not an objective viewpoint I'm talking about here. I mean, I really mean these people really are just idiots. They act like morons, they're stupid, whatever. And whether it's online or whether it's in person. Well, I think that for me lately, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what's happening, you know, but I feel like I just feel like above all of it now. And so I'm not really engaging so much anymore with people. I just don't really care unless I care. If I care, then I'll respond. And, you know, if something's being said about me, that's not true or whatever. And so apparently Debbie Daly had a show about me tonight or yesterday or something, which I have not listened to. And I'm not going to because I don't really care what the woman says about me. I know that everything I've ever said about her is true. And I've never lied about her, but she's lied about me. She's lied about herself. She's lied about many people. And so I'm done. I just don't really care anymore. So I'm just kind of beyond all of it now. And so not just with that situation, but also in people in my life. And I guess as you get older, you just don't care anymore. Not that I'm ancient. I'm 38, right? But I think as I'm getting older, I'm mellowing to the point where I don't have time for it, you know? And so unless someone really comes at me, really directly asks me a question or wants to actually have a conversation with me one-on-one and actually discuss something with me, that's one thing. But to just feed into the drama and all the bullshit and nonsense and all that stuff, whether it's on BTR, whether it's off air, wherever it may be, I'm kind of done with all of that. However, having said that, I am doing something that might cause a little bit of drama on BTR, but maybe it won't cause any, but I was talking to Desert Rose about this last night after her show, and I'm thinking about doing something. I don't want to say what it is yet. I'm thinking, but I think it might be kind of interesting, but it's going to involve everybody on BTR, all the late night hosts, okay? I'm sort of going to call it, I think, the real hosts of BTR late night, what I'm doing. Like the Real Housewives of whatever, you know. So I'm going to do something with that, and I'm going to kind of present to everyone what, based on what they have said, including myself, what I've ever said on my shows, what they've said on their shows, whatever, and use that sort of to present to people a real picture of what goes on Blog Talk Radio at night. You'd be surprised of all the drama and the craziness behind the scenes. And without having to lie or create content that's not necessarily real, I'm going to present this in a way that people will recognize themselves in it. Everybody will, including me. Good people, bad people, trolls, everything, okay? So I'm not going to say exactly what it is. Desert knows what it's about, but I'm going to And she may help me do some part of it as well. I'm not sure. She hasn't told me yet. But anyway, we're going to move forward and see what happens with that. But it should be interesting. I'll let you know when it's done and ready to start being seen. Should be soon, hopefully. But I think it might be something that people might find amusing. Because if you really think about all the nonsense on here, it's really just kind of funny. I mean, it's just kind of funny. People are, just like in the real world, I think the difference is this. People's personalities on radio or on television or whatever are amplified. So if there's a lot of good in someone, then that comes out, you know, 10,000 times more. If there's a lot of evil or just rottenness, you know, in somebody, that comes out 1,000 times more. So if somebody just really isn't a good person, it is obvious by listening to them speak, by watching them trip on their own lies and their own nonsense, you know, their own creation. They basically create their own hell. You know, it's a hell of their own making, I guess you'd say. So you can kind of watch and listen to what people say. And the good thing is there's a transcript. There's always as long as they don't delete the shows after they've said something rude or something like that, which some people do, as we all know. But as long as they actually are open and honest about how they feel, whether it's good or bad, there's always like a running, you know, obvious record of what's been said. And you can go back and listen to what someone said and kind of put together on your own, make up your own mind what kind of person that person is. I don't have to do anything because they have done it all to themselves. That's how I feel about it. And you know, anything I've ever said on any of my shows, I stand by 100%. I am not somebody who I rarely, this sounds really haughty, so I'm not going to say that. I rarely make mistakes about character, about somebody. You know, I rarely, but that's true. I'm just kind of an empathic person. And so even if I don't seem to like someone initially, I may ultimately change my mind because I understand them better. Or someone I initially liked, I may find to be just such a disgusting human being that I don't want to be around them anymore, just like in my real life. And so just like in my real life, what do? I pluck them up like a fucking weed and I throw them in the garbage or put them in a garbage disposal and get rid of them and emulsify them. So I just wanted to say that and make you aware that I am not going to engage in any discussion about me that anybody wants to talk about, no matter what it is, unless you want to talk to me directly. You can call my show and talk to me on my show, or you can talk to me off of my show, but I'm not going to have some public nonsense, and because I'm really fucking sick of it, personally. So that's what I wanted to say. If you want to catch me tomorrow, don't forget tomorrow my show is going to be a big one because we're going to talk about whatever the results are from, which will be actually announced tomorrow at 8 a.m., of the overturning of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, and Proposition 8. So as of tomorrow, it might be possible that gay people can get married all across the country and it has to be federally recognized, or it may not be that case at all. We'll see. So we shall see what happens, but it better fucking turn out the way I want, because if it's not, it'll be one fucking mad little faggot. Let me tell you that, okay? So you guys have a great night. Bye.
This guy was meant for me, and I was meant for him. And
The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.